Start your day at the Torreway, Northwest London, Sunday, 29th of Teves, 22nd of January. Rabbi Eliyahu Hai, Shlita. What is Chalak Bet Yosef? This week's Torah has been sponsored by Family Brody, Lechot Simcha Nesoyin of Yael Brody and Chaim Arya Goldschmidt. Shadiskaya Mirza Shem, the 7th of Mavos of Yom Revi, on Wednesday, 25th of January. Here also in Shivanev Bais, Neemon Yisrael, the Shem Lishilo. And also by family Dudi Rosenberg, in fond memory of his father, Rav Nishmas, Rav Yitzchok Tzvi, Ben Rav Nachum, Moshe Meir, Rav Herschel Rosenberg, on his 28th of Yahrzeit, Dalad Shavat.
So, today's topic, this is Hashem, very interesting topic, somewhat controversial. But this is Hashem, we look at it, Be'ein Ha, the eyes, to see the halacha lemaisa, and not the differences between people's minhagim. Chazal teach us that when the Torah says that there's a lav d'oraisa to eat, a treifa, to eat bosa from a behema, that's a treifa. Chazal teach us there's 70 things that can make something a treifa, but the most common one is when a behema's reo, a behema's lung, is sirucha, has a sirucha. When a behema's lung has a sirucha, then it has the halachic status.
What does sirucha mean, please?
Sorry. A treifa. I'll go into it.
What's
sircha? A sircha is an adhesion to the lung. It's a growth.
Sorry.
A growth that grows on the lung. I've seen pictures, it looks like a strand sometimes. Sometimes it's thicker, sometimes it's thinner. And medically, they say that these growths come about because of, I think there's certain... Rashi says it's because of water in the lung in one place. But I think they say, the scientists today say it comes from... Something coming out of the lung, infections and things like that. Okay, so there's an adhesion, a growth on the lung, sometimes very thin strands and strings. And Chazal say a behema whose reya is a serucha is a treifa. Now, Chazal only talk about certain instances of sirchas. Sircha shaloka sidra. I'm not going to go into all the pirtei pratim of sirchas. But the most common treifa, the most common cause of rendering an animal a treifa today, is that the reya is srucha. There's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos as to why a sircha causes the animal to be a treifa. Rashi learns that the reason is because the fact that there's a sircha there proves that there was a hole. It only comes about when there was a hole. So according to Rashi, whenever there's a sircha, when it fits the conditions of Chazal, Shalei Kisidron, etc., then you assume that there was a hole there. Tosfos says no, even if there's no hole there, the fact that there's a sircha will cause a hole. It's certain that that hole will come, and therefore it already has the halacha of a treifa. Okay. Now, it already has the halacha of a treifa, because it's got a sircha. So, the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbi Yaakov Goyim, one of the Goyim, who says a very interesting thing. Rabbi Yaakov Goyim says that if you take the reya, if you take the lung out of the animal, and you menaneya it, you shake it, and the sirchas fall off, or what appear to be sirchas fall off, they're not sirchas. You can assume that that's not a sircha. If you shake it hard, it doesn't say hard soft, if you shake it, and what looks like a sircha comes off, you assume it's a rear ba'alma. It's we might call it in English the same thing, but it's got a different halachic status. It's not a sircha, it's not made that there was a nekev, or it's not going to cause a nekev, and therefore the behema is not a treifa. He also quotes the Rosh Marivayel, say another heter. They say that a sircha, Kabbalah v'yadenu, that a sircha is only something that's pretty firm and strong, and if you can be mamashmish or mamayich this thing and it will disintegrate, you'll rub it, you'll squeeze it, and it will fall apart, then you can assume it's not a sircha, it's a rir ba'alma, and the behema, the reya, is not made that the behema is a treifa, and you can eat it. Then the Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba. The Rashba says, I'm sorry, these ideas, now the Rashba's not talking about niyanua, the Rashba's not talking about shaking the lung, he's talking about the latter method of bedika. Mishmush and miyuch, yeah? Squeezing and rubbing the sircha. And he says, anybody who does this, ki'ilu machil treifas v'yisrael. He does say the word ki'ilu. I've seen people being medayek that, but he says, ki'ilu machil treifas v'yisrael. And any sheikhet who does this, we warn them not to. And if they continue, we'll remove them. That's what the Rashba says. The Rashba says, anyone who does mishmosh umiach, and he says, why? Because this bedika is not nimtza b'chazal. It's just made up as far as...
What is mishmosh? Sorry.
And mishmosh means to rub it. To rub it and squeeze it. Yeah, either like this or like that. Right? So the fundamental principle is that it has to be firm. That's this chiddush of this bedik. It has to be strong and firm. That it wouldn't, if it were to be a sircha, it wouldn't disintegrate, it wouldn't be mitparer, it wouldn't crumble, were you to do that. Yeah? So that is the bedika that the Rashba is negating. The Rashba is saying there's no such thing. And if you do this, hareza ki ilu machel treifis b'Yisrael, and would remove a shoichet after warning, if he doesn't listen, we would remove him. The Rashbat says the same, and the Beis Yosef passes like that. The Beis Yosef is very choshesh for this day of the Rashba. It's a sofik d'oraisa, and therefore he asks any form of mishmosh and yik. The Beis Yosef is mistapuk as to whether the Rashba would agree with Nianua of Rabbi Yaakov Gaon. Yeah? He says, on the one hand, the Rashba's taina is explicit. The Rashba says that this isn't nimtza b'chazal. This bedika of mishmosh and miuch is not nimtza in chazal. So how can we be mechadish in bedika that the Gemara does not discuss? So that would hold true also for Nianua. Nianua is also not discussed in chazal. On the other hand, he says, it's an efshel litchoik v'loima, that it's one of the goinim, Rabbi Yaakov goin, maybe that has a din of divrei kabbalah, and it's like it's nimtza b'chazal. Okay, so the Bishyos is mistapik, and he completely leaves it out of the Shulchan Aruch. Mishmosh and Miuch, he clearly goes against. However, Nianua, he doesn't discuss in the Shulchan Aruch. And Beis Yosef, and he says, Beis Yosef, he's mistapik. He's noted to say that Rashba wouldn't agree, but Efshel Litchoik. And in the Shulchan Aruch, he's not Machriya, he doesn't tell us what his actual Deya is. But one thing we know for sure is that the Beis Yosef would not agree, does not agree, to the idea of taking what looks like a sircha, being mamash mesh and mamayach, rubbing it, squeezing it to see if it crumbles, and thereby ascertaining that this behemah has not got a sircha, he doesn't agree to that at all. Any behemah with that form, something that looks like a sircha, shalek a sidron, even if you crumble it with ease, it's osa to eat, according to the Beis Yosef. The Ramah says, however, the Ramah says, v'yei shayimrim, no, mishmosh and miuch helps. It works to work out whether this is a sircha. And that's, even though this is a great kula, this is afal pisha kula gdoilahi, kvar no'agu came in medina yiseilu ve'ein limchois biyodom. So he doesn't sound, the Ramah's not overly enthusiastic about this, yeah? He says it's a big kula, but it's the minach, and therefore you can't be moicha. He doesn't say ve'ein ashanis. Often, in someone learns Ramah on the Shulchan Aruch, often he says ve'ein ashanis. He says, "In limchais." I think it's very clear that that's a lower daraga. Huh? Yeah.
No.
Mishmosh miuch. Mishmosh miuch. Yeah. Nianua, the Ramah also doesn't discuss. Nianua, as we said, has got this ponim to be makel more on Nianua. Okay, that's what the Ramah says. There were other Ashkenazi achronim who, the Chasam Sofer, for instance, says he saw many great kulas when he went into how they were being boiduk the Reya, and initially he wanted to stop them, and then he realized Minag Yisrael Torah, and Yeshlem Amasha Yismoich, and therefore you shouldn't go against the Minag. Kedarka Bakoyz Shul Chasim Seifa. But there were many Ashkenazi Achroinim who also held that you should be Machmeh for this. The Shloah Kodesh writes that the Ramah Kedarkoi was Matzdik Minhagi Ashkenaz. But really, he says, Atem Bonim Abonim Bonai, he's writing to his sons, his children, he says, you should be machmir on this. You should not chalila to eat basar, the shlo. He says, chalila to eat a behema that was not nitraf through mishmosh and miuch, i.e. without mishmosh and miuch, we would have said it's a treifa. Chalila to eat such a behema, that's what he tells his children. And he says, ubefrat be'eretz hakodesh, where the minag there is to be machmir, like the Beis Yosef, certainly if you're there, there's no shaila that you're not allowed to eat such flesh. Okay, and there were others, the Noda Behuda also says, the Minag Ein Limchois, Bahalavai, we would be Machmer on this. It's a dua as well that the Groal, Halach Lamais, used to tell his Talmidim that they have to be Machmer. Okay, but practically, the Minag, as far as I know, of Roiv Bnei Ashkenaz, is to be Makel, and we're going to see what the Minag of most Sephardim is, because there's some controversy about that. But the Deya of the Shulchan Aruch is Mishmosh Umiuch is not a valid bedika to work out whether something is a sircha or a rear. The Deya of the Ramah is Ein Limchois, it's got pshat, it's got a shein minhag. Someone who is relying on mishmush and miuch as a bedika is not going against the halacha. Right? I think it's safe to present the machlekes like that. Fine. Now, there was a very interesting shaila that came about in the times of Reb Shmuel Abuhav, the Dvar Shmuel, and he writes that Sephardim, who are machmir, on not doing mishmush and miuch, come sometimes to a shtot where the people of that town are not machmir. They do mishmush and miuch, right? In those days, it wasn't like two completely different communities in one space. Every shtot had its own minhagim and its own rabbonim and its own dinim. So you come, the shaila was noilad, the shaila began when somebody from one town visits another town. So I come to another town, I'm machmeron, not using mishmush and miuch. I come to a place where all the meat here, I'm staying here for a month, and my host, I'm going to start asking him, be by the kistitis before he gives me some food. So the Maharash Abuav, the Dvar Shmuel, he has a shaila, what should this fellow do? He's machmer, and he's staying by someone who's not machmer. He says a very interesting halacha. He says, if you were there by the Shechita, in those days it probably was more plausible that you could be there by the Shechita, and Meir Shoram, I know some people till today, they're there by the Shechita, let's see what you're giving me, right? But if you're there by the Shechita and you see there's a Reyasa, you see there's something like a Sircha, and they do Mishmush or Miuch, whatever it is, so then you can't be Malimayin. So then you have to say, sorry, I have a stomachache. He says, don't say your flesh is straight for me. He say, I've got a stomachache, and thus I'm not in the mood of meat right now. Say, if you weren't there, you're sitting at home, and then the host presents you some flesh. He says, don't worry about it. You don't need to daiga. Why? Because min ha-Torah, and maybe even min ha-Rabbanan, but let's say min ha-Torah, you don't need to check for anything. You can assume that a behemoth is a kshira. True, we have a din, let's call it the Rabbanon. It's not even clear if it's a din the Rabbanon or minhag ba'alma, but let's say it's a din the Rabbanon that we have to be mevarir if there was a nekev, if there's a sircha, etc. That's because it's a miut hamotzui. With the Rabbanon, we have to be mevarir. What happens if I can't be mevarir? What happens if an animal came and took the lung? We're about to check the lung, came a kelev, and it took the lung. This is a case in the poiskim. Nitl oreya. It's mutter to eat it. You've got the roif. I can be mavara. I can't be mavara. Meaning the whole tzoyruch to verify as to whether there is a sircha, as to whether there is a nekev, is only in as much as I can be. If I can't be, I don't need to be. Says the Maharash Abuav, Dvar Shmuel, this person is sitting at someone's house. A piece of meat is given to him. Can he be mavara? Can't be mavara. It's no worse than had a dog come and taken the rail before the boydok was able to check it. It's a very interesting svara, right? Huh? How could he be mavara? How could he be mavara, this guy? Oh, so he can go and ask the sheikhet, assuming that the sheikhet will remember which person. In those days, you might have been able to. In those days, you might have been able to. I don't know how many behemoths they would have shechted a day in a small shtot. I mean, the numbers that we're talking about today are probably not relevant in those days. Okay, maybe in that case you would have to. We also, to what extent do you have to be mevarech? That's another shaila. The Prima Gadam in Hilchas Shechita, if you see a shechet shechting a behemoth, nowadays a shechet who shechts without being musmuch from a heksha, we would say there's a reyesa, there's a problem. But in Chazal's time, person shechted, you can assume he knows what he's doing. Roiv matzui mitzvah shechita mumchemim. You can assume he knows the halachos. However, if you're there, you're meant to fahem. You need to know a bit of Hilchas shechita before you fahem. You're meant to ask him a few shailas. Yeah? To what extent? What if he's gone off? He's 5 minutes down the road. You have to run and catch him. So the Prima Gadol is Esher Avara Bekal. When it's kal, you can be mavara. In a case where it's going to cause a business, you're going to go run after the sheikhet, kvoid abrius, is going to be a whole. I'm not sure if that, I would assume that doesn't normally come under the category of efshel avara bakal. Okay. Oh, we'll get very good, very good. Sex faker. Very good. We'll get there. But Maharash Abuav doesn't say that, but that's a very good that. So it says Shmuel Abuav, in that case, you can eat nitl oreya. And the Talmidim of the Gros say that even though they're machmir for the shit of the Pes Yosef, that we're not going to use mishmush u'miuch like the Rashba, Nevertheless, if they're baderech, if they're being hosted by people, then they don't ask questions. Midin nitol horeo. It's no worse than had the lung being taken away. We can't be mevarer, and therefore we rely on the roiv behemus bechezkas ksheirus. Wonderful. Now, once again, this might not be so relevant to us today. Let's talk about a case before we get to lemaisa b'metzias. Let's say there's a place where there's two echsherim. One is makbid, like the Beis Yosef, not to do mishmosh u'miyuch, and the other isn't. So there's a very easy way of being mevarer. I don't need to run after the shoychut. I don't need to ask what happened when you there. Which butcher do you buy from? Do you buy from the Chalak Bet Yosef butcher, or do you buy from the non-Chalak Bet Yosef butcher? So Kos Minish Gingel. Now, in a case where it's embarrassing, maybe that's not Evshel of Arabakal. Okay, let's say it's not embarrassing. Let's look at a very, very, very simple case. You're eating in someone's house, your makbid on Beis Yosef, not to do Mishmosh u'miyuch, which, by the way, as I mentioned before, some Achroinim and Ashkenazim, well, makbid Rabbi Eliashiv, allegedly, and that's what I heard from Kairos Gantz Musmochim, he stopped eating meat completely. Because he wanted to be makbid for Beis Yosef, and he didn't believe the echsherim that said that they were doing chalak bet Yosef were really doing that. He says, there's no way they're producing that much meat. We'll get to that.
They wouldn't describe the meat as glut in the moment that it was a behemoth which had mishmosh
u'miyuch. We'll go through that. That's very important. You're saying even echsherim that aren't officially doing chalak bet Yosef, they've got two machlakot as glut. We'll get to that. Very, very good point. Yeah? We'll get to that. But let's say you're makbid on not doing mishmosh u'miyuch, and the person you're eating by is your brother. He's not going to get embarrassed, he's not going to get upset. You ask him, listen, Hezekhain, do you buy this echsher? Do you buy that echsher? If it's this echsher, I'll eat the meat. If not, I'll eat the chicken. What's the geshein, yeah? This whole thing is only relevant for meat, and by the way, very important, it's only relevant normally in most places for beef. It's not even relevant to lamb. Why? Because apparently lamb is so easy to be mapped with. It's so rare to have sirchus that you need to come and do mishmosh u'miyuch. I think all echsherim, at least in England, are makbid. So it's only relevant on beef, on cow. Beseder, so I won't eat that. I'll eat something else. Do you have to be mevarer? If you're coming to mitzad roiv, maybe you have to be mevarer. Okay, even though the birur that we're talking about here is not exactly the same birur that Chazal required us to do. Chazal required us to be mevarer whether there was a sircha, whether there is a nekev. They didn't require us to be mevarer to ask the sheikhet, is it this behemah or that behemah? So I'm not sure if you would be required to ask which hechsher is. Okay, but let's say you would have to be mevarer. That's not going to be entirely helpful for everybody. So there's another heter that was mentioned before. There's a heter outside of roiv behemah cheskas ksheres. There's another heter. Svek Sveka. Yeah, we all know the concept of Svek Sveka. There's a Svek Sveka here. What's the first topic? The first topic is, who said Bichlal this behema had anything that looks like a sircha? That's not who said it had any growth on the lung. And second of all, even if it did, maybe the halacha follows the Rosh and the Marivine, who say that you can be mamash mishu mamaych. So the meat in front of me, right now, that's being presented to me, it's got a Svek Sveka on it. Number one, maybe it didn't have any problem. Number two, even if it did, maybe mishmosh u'miyuch is a good way of ascertaining as to whether it's a rir or a sircha. So I have a svek sveka that's indicating that this flesh is muta. Now, svek sveka is a svek sveka, very complicated. The shachols, you can't just invent svek svekas. You need to be very worried. Beseda, bearing in mind that here we already have a heta of nital horeo. We already have a heter min ha-toira, at least, that this is no worse than a kelev coming and taking the lung away. I've got a roiv here. I think there's a lot more room to make this svek sveka. Okay, but the Sfaradi poiskim don't go with the shach anyway.
It's not svek sveka
misapeches. It's not misapeches. It's not misapeches because once you're saying, well, if the meat, if mishmosh u'miyuch helps, then I'm okay. And even if Mishnah, no, why not? It's Misabach.
No, if you start off on the side, if it had no sirchas in the first place, that's the end of it.
Well, if it had nothing that looks like a sircha, then I'm fine. And even if it did, maybe Mishmosh u'miyuch, I mean, it tells me that there's not a sircha. I'm not sure. Yeah. Maybe Mishmosh u'miyuch is a way of ascertaining. Maybe it had no reusa. And even if it did have a reusa, maybe Mishmosh u'miyuch is ascertaining that it's not a sircha. I think it is Misabach. But I hear. Now there is, okay, so if we say Svek Sveika, then we've got another Shaila. How much has Svek Sveika helped us? Do I have to be Mevarir a Svek Sveika? Let's say I can be Mevarir one of the Sveikas. I can find out if this flesh, Behemoth, had a Sircha or not, had what Mishmushum Yuch was done to it or not. Let's say I could. Would I have to? So there's a big Shaila, there's a big Machloikas Achroinim. If you have a Svek Sveika, do you have to be Mevarir? Some Achrin, you don't even need to pick up the phone and ask one word. Das Tren Gonish. Svek Svek is like it's Vadai. Yeah? Rabbi Akiva Eger says, and even the, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, even the Rishonim who hold you do need to be Mavari Svek Sveka, would agree that if you can't be Mavari both Svekas, you can only be Mavari one, you don't need to. Even I could be Mavari one, and I would throw away the Svek Sveka. Imagine if I'd be Mavari that Mishmush and Miuch was done to this flesh. So then I don't have my Svek Sveka anymore. And you have one Sofik, right? And you have a Sofik if those are Shayna Mara or those are Shayna Mara. Doesn't matter. Seeing as you can't be Mavara the other Sofik, Meikora, you are not required to be Mavara the first one. Very interesting Svar, but that's what Rabbi Akiva goes with. And most places came a Soymich on the Halacha L'Maisa, Rabbi Yashar Shal Mazam, and it's relevant in certain Halachas. Even when you can be Mavara a Svek Sveka, but you can only be Mavara one Sofik, you're not required to. So according to this, there's a big Revach for people who are Makbet on Chalak Bet Yosef, a Sephardim. Let's say, they're going to somebody's house. They don't need to start asking questions. I have a Svek Sveka. Sofik, if there was Bechlal anything, Sofik, if even if there was, maybe Mishmash Shemiyuch is the right halacha, maybe it's okay. I have a Svek Sveka and I don't need to be Mavarer anything. Okay. Now, whether a Svek Sveka you can do the Chadchila, or it's only B'Sha'a Sadchak, that's a big machloek is a poiskin.
If that person eats glass, so then he hasn't got Svek?
You mean every glatt should have a Svek Sveka?
Ashkenazi eat beats glatt. It means it was the behemoth without sichus.
Not necessarily. We'll go into that in a minute. We'll go into that. So bichlal whether lechatchila I can rely on a Svek Sveka as a big limb. Some place can say, the base mayor says, Svek Sveka is a very nice Torah when you're b'sha'as adchak, b'dievet. To go along lechatchila and say, I have a Svek Sveka and go and do it, no shenish. But even that, it's a big machlokes. The Prichodosh disagrees with that. Many, the Re'eim, Rebbe Eliyahu Mizrachi says, this is how he proves this halacha. He says, a tumtum can't be moitzi another tumtum in Hilchas Megillah, right? Because he might be in a keva, and then in a keva can't be moitzi a zoch, right? Says the Rebbe Eliyahu Mizrachi, I don't understand. There's a Svek Sveka here. Sofek if tumtum number one is a zoch. If he's a zoch, everything's fine, regardless of the other one. And even if he's in a keva, maybe the other person's in a keva. Yeah, he's going with the man down the holtz and the cave can be mighty in the cave. So there's a Svek Sveka, what's the problem? Says Rabbi Yomizrachi, you see from here, Svek Sveka is nishlechat chila. It's not something that you can just do. But many places can disagree with that. They answer that kasha a different way. They say with two different gufis, you can't do a Svek Sveka. Many places can disagree with that. And they say, lechat chila, you can do a Svek Sveka. So I think there's what to rely on here. You've got a lot of places who say Svek Sveka is even lechat chila. You've got a roiv here that's saying roiv behemus becheskas ksheris and it's like nital horeya. I think there's very big room, even for somebody who is makbid on chalak bet Yosef, to say, hey, if I'm presented with some flesh, I've got a svek sveka, especially when there's a shail of kvoid abrius, there's a shail of a pirud in the ichud between people here. I think there's very big room to rely on a svek sveka. Now, the shaila is, Bichlal, why don't I have a Svek Sveka in every single oifen? Meaning, why? Until now we've spoken about a person who comes to somebody else's house. And I don't know what heksha you buy. Either you buy a kedasya, who let's say, who are not, let's say, makbid on mishmushumir, they do mishmushumir, or you buy a heksha that is makbid. I don't need to ask you. I've got a Svek Sveka and that's it. Why can't I say the Svek Sveka even on kedasya itself? I'm coming along and I'm buying a heksha. Most Heksherim now, as far as I know, I might be wrong, but Kedasya certainly comes under this category. Many Heksherim don't split their meat. This is Beis Yosef, and this is not. This had a Sircha that we didn't do Mishmash Shemiyach, and this one did. So it comes out that out of Kedasya's flesh, there's certainly a big percentage that have no Sirchas, that have no Mishmash Shemiyach was necessary to be done to them. So on each piece of meat that is being sold under such a heksha, I've got a Svek Sveka. Sovik Bichlal, if this had a sircha, anything that looked like a sircha, and even if it did, maybe there's Mishmash Shemiyuch. Meaning until now, we've said the Svek Sveka when we're talking about two different heksherim. I'm eating in your house, I don't know what heksha you have. Now I'm saying even in the Heksha itself. So there's a big mockum to say that even somebody who goes Bashitas HaBeis Yosef, here is an out to be Mekel. The Beis Yosef never told me he wouldn't agree to a Sfek Sveka. The Beis Yosef told me I'm not allowed to go and buy meat that Mishmash HaMiach was done to. He never told me if I have a Sofik, if Mishmash HaMiach was done to it, that I can't be Mekel. Maybe even someone who goes Bashitas HaBeis Yosef can go and buy Kedasya meat. What's the problem?
You're talking about Oifus.
No, not at all. No, only beef. Only beef.
You mentioned split backs. What are we talking?
No, you didn't mention about
cutting open?
No. Some Hechsherim in Eretz Yisrael especially, and now I think Federation have a machlaka and London based in some Hechsherim, they split between glatt and non-glatt, right? Have you ever seen that concept?
Yeah, you mean they split?
They split the meat. So let's say they shecht 100 behemoths and 70 they put into kosher and 30 they put into glatt. Am I right in the nuschois that I'm using? Yeah, there's glatt and there's, right? Rav Landa, let's in Eretz Yisrael, he has Chalak Bet Yosef, and no, he has in his Hechshel Chalak Bet Yosef. I think Shefa Ahmad now have Chalak Bet Yosef hologram, right? So Hechshel like that, you got a Safad, you'll have a big, someone who's makbid on the base, has a big problem. Because if he's buying the non-glat Chalak, he's almost certainly buying flesh that is not okay according to the base Yosef. But in a Hechshel like Kedasya that does not have that split, or the Eder Charedis that does not have that split, you've got a Svek Svek on all flesh there.
Plus the Rov.
So I was speaking to a few people about this, and I didn't get a clear answer. A few people who hold, no, we Sephardim need to eat non Ashkenazi Hechsherim and have to have Chalak Beit Yosef. Asked, why isn't there always a Svek Sveker on any Hechsher like Kedasi and Eidach Haredis who don't make that split? Why isn't there always a Svek Sveker? So someone wanted to tell me a very interesting idea. Told me that he was at the abattoirs, and he said the roiv rubum of the behemoths came out, all of them, you have to do mishmush umiyach. In other words, he told me something like 80 out of 100 behemoths, according to the Beis Yosef, is not good. He said you can't have a svek sveka on such a small meat. First of all, I'm not sure if that hanocha is right. There are many poskim, including Rabbi Akiva Eger, who say that even though for one sofik, 20% is not considered the proper sofik, but for a svek sveka, I can be matzarif. If I've got one sofik, that's a starker sofik, a 50-50, let's call it, and the second one's a schwacher meiser, a schwacher sofik, it's still good enough to be called svek sveka. Because at the end of the day, I've got roiv tzodim that are saying that it's okay. So many pois can hold one sofik shokul, one sofik not shokul, that's fine. Yeah, it's from Kivega, Nidda, he proves it from Rashi, Nidda. It's very, very, a lot of pois can hold that, number one. Number two, I've got a big kasha. If that is true, that roiv rubam of behemoth are not kasheris according to the Beis Yosef, and you assume that they have sirchus, because the only way to say they're not sirchus is through mishmash umiyuch, if that's true, how does anybody who wants to be makbid on Chalak Beit Yosef drink milk? How can you drink milk from a behemoth? The reason that you can drink milk, shteit klon, chazal, shteit klon, rishonim, is because roiv behemus becheskes ksheiris. So you don't need to assume that when I milked this behemoth, it was a treifa. Why should I assume something like that? Roiv behemus becheskes ksheiris. It's got cheskes kosher.
When it's not alive.
The sirchah only pops up when it's not alive?
No, but I don't have to check. Otherwise, you can't never milk a cow.
Absolutely. I agree. So that's what I'm asking. How can you milk a cow? So I've got news. Do you know ask this kasha? The Kisser, yo, the Darke Tshuva, yeah, there are a lot of Achreinim who say, not Dafka because of Chalak Bet Yosef, they say, Einenu Royos, when we shech the behemoths, most of them end up treifas. Most of the behemoths, we're matrif, we put them in the treifa pile, right? Which is, by the way, probably why so many people didn't end up being machmir for these chumras, because it is a hefset naruba, it's a lot of money. In the Arab countries, very often the Arabs would take the meat from the Yidden, so it was a minimal loss, it was no loss, it was just a loss of time. I can afford to throw 4 out of 5 behemoths to the Arabs and make sure that the one I'm getting is Mamash Kosher Yosher. Mistam in the European countries, they didn't want to take from the Jews Shechita, so they couldn't afford to do these chumras. But says the Prichodosh and the Kiselion Darkei Tshuva, most behemoths end up being treif. Vikenazai, Chazal say roi behemoths cheskes ksheiros. So you could tell me things have changed. Someone wants to say Nishtanu Atvoim. Someone shoot his Eurus Tshuva. Simon Kuf Zayin, he says, nowadays we keep all the animals in a barn and they don't move and they're eating completely different things. You haven't got roi behemus becheskes ksheiros. Okay, im kein loy motzini yodeinu v'ragleinu b'beis v'medrash. We're not going to be able to drink milk, we're not going to be able to do anything. So he comes along the Prichosis and Kiselion, Dark Chuva, and says, no, no, no. Roy Behemoth Becheskas Ksheris Chazal said it, and it's true even today. Why do we end up having 80% of our Behemoth's treif? Because we have so many chumras, and we're not bekiyim and what's called the sircha, what's called the rear, and we're not baki, what's krum and what's. So therefore, we end up overall being very machmi. Emechanami, when we see a behemoth with a reus in front of us, we can't turn a blind eye, we can't be malim ayin. But when you're talking about overall in 100 behemoths, the truth of the matter is, someone would ask you, are roiv kosher or treif? The answer is roiv kosher. And that's how you can drink their cholam, and that's how you can drink their milk. So if so, I find it very hard for somebody to tell me that you don't have a svek sveka in this oifen because roiv end up being only kosher through mishmushum yeah. Moreover, I'll finish off with this last point, a very interesting case that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, which is, what happens if somebody has a cow? I assume this wasn't that rare in those days, oh, this cow. And he milked the cow and he made cheese. And the cheese is sitting in his house. I imagine it lasts for let's say a week. At the end of that week, he's still got a bit of the cheese in his house. He goes and shechs the cow. And what does he find? He finds a sircha. Doesn't find a nekev, finds a sircha. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the flesh, you mustn't eat. Sircha, forget mishmashu miyuch. Let's say he did mishmashu miyuch and it didn't crumble. Can't eat the flesh. The kez, the cheese, you're allowed to eat. You know why? Svek sveka. What's a svek sveka? Says the Shulchan Aruch, isn't a svek sveka from the Rosh? Sofek, if the sircha happened now or not. Maybe when I milked the cow a week ago, maybe there was no sircha there. Some place can say the last 3 days. Okay, before three, a week before I milked it, a week before I shechted it, before I found the sircha. And even if the sircha was there, every sircha is a sofek, because we're not baki in what a rir is and what a sircha is. This is a very, very, very important piece in the Shulchan Aruch. That means the Shulchan Aruch, even though the Shulchan Aruch denies the idea of mishmashu miyuch being a way to prove something is not a sircha, but the Shulchan Aruch still agrees that every sircha is a sofek if it's a rir or a sircha. Meaning he doesn't deny that there's a way to tell between a rir and a sircha. There is. We don't know it. I just deny, says the Shulchan Aruch, that mishmashu miyuch is that way. So come to Chayis, that it's klav lechayit poshut pshutim, that according to this Shulchan Aruch, there is a svek sveka. Every sircha might be a rir and it might be a sircha. Right? So lechayit, there's very, very clear grounds to make a svek sveka to allow somebody who wants to be makbid on Chalak Bet Yosef to eat flesh, especially if they're in somebody else's house. Now, if the Midas Chasidus, there is to be machme against the svek sveka, and some poskim say svek sveka, you were not allowed to rely on if with ease you've got a way out. Fine. So that's a machlokes. So I'm not saying that people shouldn't be makbid on Chalak Bet Yosef. But I think I want to put things into perspective. There is a svek sveka, there is a roiv, and certainly in many circumstances, I think the wrong thing to do would be to make a fuss if you're in somebody's simcha, somebody's house, and start asking questions. Mishmash miyach, you saw the baidek nishna, I eat this. I think that would be the wrong thing to do. Okay. Bezos Hashem, we should all be zeichet to eat. Boss of Kosher, Tom.
Shkoyah.